You are not who you think you are. You are who your environment has been building you into, and those two things are not always the same. The thoughts you think most often, the beliefs about what is possible for you, the automatic responses to the challenge, that default setting on your self-worth, or the ceiling that you keep bumping your head on, almost none of that originated in you. It was installed by the rooms you grew up in, by the people who were loudest in the house, loudest in the rooms, the culture that shaped the water you swam in before you were old enough to know you were swimming in the water. The environment did not ask for your permission. It just worked quietly, persistently, with the patient efficiency of something that does not need to be announced to be effective. And the rooms you're in right now, today, this week, the environments you return to day after day are doing the same thing without your permission, without your awareness, without any announcement that the shaping is happening. And the question is not whether your environment is building you, it is what it is building you into. And whether the thing it is building is the person you're trying to become or the person you've already been. Because you can do all of the internal work, the therapy, journaling, that morning routine I talked about yesterday, the mindset work, the healing, the growing, and then go back to the same environment and watch most of it just dissolve. It's not because the work was not real, but it's because the environment is more powerful than the work. Not occasionally, but like almost always. The brain is shaped more by where it lives than by what it occasionally decides in the presence of a podcast, which means if you are serious about becoming different, you have to get serious about where you live, what you walk back into every day. Who has consistent access to your nervous system? What signals the space around you is sending to your brain about who you are and what is possible? And I want to deal with that today. Welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. I am Brandon Lynette. I'm the voice authority podcast coach. Your mess is your message. And right away, I know this will probably make you a little defensive, and I just want you to sit with the defensiveness instead of reacting to it. The environment you are in right now, those people, I know you're picturing them, the spaces and the inputs from the daily backdrops of your life. Some of it's serving the version of you that you are trying to build, and some of it is quietly, systematically, without malice or intention, it's working against it. Both of those things can be true simultaneously. The people you love can be the people who are the wrong input for the version of you that's emerging. The space you have built can be the space that's too small for the life you're supposed to be living. That container we're talking about yesterday, the goldfish, can only grow in X amount of water till it hits a ceiling. The inputs that you've normalized can be the ones that are keeping the ceiling exactly where it's been. And speaking that out, like putting a name to it, that's not a betrayal of the people you love. It is the necessary honesty that you need if you're going to be serious about the life you say you want to build. Today's episode is brought to you by Super Patch, and it's Defend Today. I've got a little girl who woke up a little sick. And so I patched her up. It is a go-to in my house. It is a staple because cold medicine, what does that do for us? Nothing. Already she's doing better. It's been a couple hours. But instead of, a week of being knocked out, she's a little tired, resting up, and hopefully tomorrow she is back on track. But also defend, because this episode is about protecting something. It is that version of you that's emerging. This conversation is so important, and this process is so important. We're talking about becoming. Yesterday, we're talking about becoming. I want you to protect the new you that is emerging, and your brain is trying to build new architecture, right? In that environment that keeps pulling it back towards the old self. We talked about that yesterday. Defend is what our whole family reaches for when we need the immune system supported. You guys, there's no drugs. There is no ingredients. It's vibrotactile technology telling the body to stay ready for what's coming at it. And that's the metaphor and the reality. You need to defend the becoming. Your brain is not processing your environment. It is your brain's being processed by it. And that distinction is very important. The common assumption is that you move through your environment and you encounter it and you respond to it and you are the active agent and the environment is just supposed to be the passive backdrop. Neuroscience says the exact opposite. The environment is continuously, actively below the level of your conscious awareness, and it's shaping the neural architecture that determines how you think, what you believe, what feels possible, and what automatic responses fire when life asks something of you. The technical term is environmental priming. That's the word for it. The brain, in its constant effort to predict what is needed next, uses the environment as its primary data source. The physical space you're in, the sounds around you, the emotional temperature of the people nearby, the visual cues that surround you, all of it is being processed continuously, and it's used to calibrate your expectations and your emotional state and your sense of what is safe and what is possible. And it's not a conscious thing. It just happens automatically. Before you have thought a single thought, your environment's already told your brain what kind of day this is going to be and what kind of person you are inside this day. That is why you guys, like wealthy people, they tend to stay wealthy. And it's not because money makes you smart, it's because the environment of wealth continuously primes the brain for the thinking patterns that produce the wealth, the spaces, the conversations, the assumed baseline of what's normal and what's possible. All of it is doing the neurological work on the occupants every single day. And conversely, this is why breaking generational patterns is so genuinely difficult. It is not just a mindset problem, it's an environment problem. The brain you bring to the new possibility was shaped by the old environment. And until the environment changes, the brain keeps getting reshaped back towards the familiar. Every hour you spend in an environment that confirms the old identity is an hour your brain is receiving input that reinforces the old neural architecture. Every conversation that treats the old ceiling as that realistic expectation, that's a conversation that is literally strengthening the pathway that says the ceiling is accurate. Every space that communicates scarcity or limitation or smallness, that this is as good as it gets. You guys, that space is doing active neurological work on you. And I'm not saying this metaphorically. Through the brain's environmental priming system, the space is shaping the architect who is shaping the life. And neuroplasticity works in both directions. The brain builds in the direction of consistent input. So if you give it consistent input, that confirms the old ceiling and it builds the architecture for the old ceiling. If you give it consistent input, that expands the sense of what's possible and it builds the architecture for expansion. The environment is the most powerful and most underutilized tool available for that reinvention. Okay, and it's working on you either way. You guys, the question is whether you're going to be directing it. And I want to be specific here because, the vague statements about surrounding yourself with good people, they float around the personal development space. And again, what the fuck is it changing for anybody? The room that is costing you the most is probably not an obviously toxic one. It's probably a room that you love, full of the people you genuinely care about, who genuinely care about you. We have a, that years in the making understanding of who you are, right? You guys know that. And like I explained in yesterday's conversation, nobody's talking about the person you're trying to become. They're not ready for that. And every time you walk into the room, the environment communicates, okay? And it's not malicious, it's not intentional. It's just that brain is doing what it does through that accumulated weight of shared history, that you are the version they know. And your nervous system, which has spent years in that room being that version, your nervous system is going to respond accordingly. That's the most expensive room, not the one with toxic people, because you already know that, okay? But it's that one with the loving people who have a low ceiling for you because they've only ever seen you at the height of the old ceiling. And you keep going back because you love them. And you leave slightly smaller than you arrived, not because they meant to, but because the room has a that specific gravitational pull, and you've been in that gravitational field long enough now that it's just automatic. And the conversations that are happening in that room. There's the one where you share the new direction. Okay. You're like, oh, I'm going to start a podcast. I've got a new business, the calling, the version of your life that you're building. And the response is careful, supportive in a very measured way. The encouragement that has a stable ceiling built into it, right? The enthusiasm that is calibrated to what they believe is realistic for you. And you leave that conversation feeling deflated. And it doesn't make sense to you internally because, like, the words were supportive, right? It is that frequency under the words, that unconscious communication of their belief about what is possible for you. And their belief in that moment became the loudest input in the room. I say this with love. You are not obligated to protect everyone from your growth. But you are obligated to be honest about what certain rooms are doing to your trajectory. And the room that keeps you slightly smaller every time you leave it is a room you need to spend less time in. And it's not because you stop loving the people in it. I'm not asking you to do that. It's because you cannot build the life you're supposed to build from inside the gravity of the ceiling that they have for you. And the rooms that build you are not always comfortable. In fact, the most productive rooms are the ones where you are the least experienced person present. Where everyone around you is operating at the level you are building toward, where the assumed baseline of what is normal is above your current ceiling, where the conversations are about problems you have not had yet because you have not built for, enough to encounter them. And that discomfort, the feeling of being in a room that is slightly too big for the current version of you, that is a very productive developmental environment that is available to you. Your brain in that room does not receive confirmation of the old ceiling. It's receiving data that the ceiling is not where you thought it was. That the level you've been treating as advanced is currently, that's your fucking entry point. And that the version of you that felt fully formed is actually early stage. And the neural architecture begins to update, you guys. And we know, like, as is everything in life, it is not instant. But it is going to move in the direction of the expanded possible. This is not about finding perfect people or those bullshit curated environments. It's about being intentional for the first time about what environments you are consistently in and what those environments are consistently telling your brain about who the fuck you are and what's available to you. The person who spends 3 hours a week in a room where people are building what they're trying to build makes progress that the person doing everything in isolation cannot match, undeniably. And it's not because the room gives them better information necessarily, because sometimes the information is the same, but it's because the environment is doing the neurological work of expanding the baseline. The brain, bitch, in that room updates its model of what normal looks like. And when the model update the behavior that produces the new normal becomes more accessible, more obvious, less like the exception, and more like the expected. The most cost-effective investment you can make in your own development is access to a room that is bigger than the one you're currently in. Not a course, not a book, but an actual room with real people building real things at the level you're building towards. Find the room, show up to it, let your nervous system be calibrated by it, and the brain is going to do the rest. There was a moment where I understood the power of environment in a way that rearranged everything I thought I knew about growth because I was doing that internal work. For a long time, I was getting all the information, reading, learning, processing, developing, like the kind of work that happens mostly in solitude. In the journal, in my podcast episodes, in private conversations with God about the direction and the calling, and dear God, I fucked up. Are you sure you want me to do this? All of that. And I'm growing, I can see it, but the growth had a ceiling that I couldn't identify and couldn't seem to break through. And I kept doing more of the same work harder and getting more of the same incremental result. And then I got into a room with specific people who are building at a level I only thought about from the outside. And what happened to my nervous system in that room, because it's honestly the best description of environmental priming I have personally experienced. Within 20 minutes, I felt the ceiling change. And no one told me it changed. It's not like they were like, oh, welcome. They had no fucking clue. But it's because the environment was communicating through the conversations being had and through the problems being discussed, through the assumed baseline of what was normal in that room, that the ceiling I'd been operating under was not a ceiling at all. It was a floor. The level I had been treating as advanced was where these people started. The version of what was possible that I'd been working toward was the entry point where they were operating. My brain did not know what to do with that for several minutes. Honestly, the data was too inconsistent with the existing model. And then something shifted. I had the model update, and it wasn't complete. Bitch, that takes time. You know, we're going to talk about reps in practice. So it wasn't complete, but it was enough. Enough. The ceiling I had been bumping my head on for months, it lifted in about 45 minutes of being in the right room. You guys, I didn't learn anything new. It's because the environment told my brain something true that the old environment had never communicated. I have been intentional about my rooms ever since. I spent some time with, someone the other day who'd spent 8 years doing the best work he could in that same environment. He's a coach, very skilled, and he has real methodology and real results. Like, he has this incredible structure. I was in awe. And he has a message that's been developing through those 8 years, and it's fucking powerful. And he was in a community of coaches who were collectively keeping each other at a certain level. I don't think it was intentional, obviously not malicious. They're putting time into this, and the conversations are supportive, the relationships are real, but the environment had an implicit agreement about what was realistic, what was worth charging, what was achievable, what was normal, and the implicit agreement was limiting everyone in it. And he didn't know this until he got into the new room. Okay. And you know, he's like, I thought I was doing well until I saw what doing well actually looked like. And that was just changing the narrative. And then I realized I'd been operating in some, you know, someone else's limitation for years. And he called that the ceiling. Someone else's limitation. Called it the ceiling. This is the room problem. In one sentence, and I hope you guys cannot hear my phone blowing up because I totally forgot to hit do not disturb. You do not know the ceiling in is not yours until you're in a room where the ceiling doesn't exist. And by the time you get in that room, you've probably spent years, very, you know, significant, irreplaceable. I mean, bitch, you're not going to get them back, but you've spent years building inside a constraint that was never actually structural. It was just that environment. And that was the agreement of the room you were in. You know, there, your voice, when you step into a new room, you discover a new range. That's what happens. You finally step out of that limiting room. And this is what my friend did. The range in his voice changed. The confidence in the message changed. There was an absence of just this like apology personality that 8 years of being in the wrong room kind of installed. That quality was not something he had to manufacture. It was already there. And now that he finds his power, all he ever really needed was the right environment to activate it. You need the right room to activate your voice. And the physical rooms, okay, they're not the only environment. The digital one is running the same program. What you put in your ears on the commute, what you watch in the evening, what accounts you follow, and what content they're feeding your brain about what's normal, what's possible, and who people like you get to be. All of it's environmental input. All of it is being processed by the brain's priming system. All of it either is expanding that baseline or confirming the old one. The news cycle is an environment, and it is specifically designed, as we've talked about before. But in the context of this environmental priming, it's to calibrate your brain towards fear, scarcity, and threat, and helplessness of a population that's being acted upon by forces too large to influence. That's not an accidental byproduct. That is the product. A brain primed by the news cycle is a brain that does not feel safe expanding. It does not feel safe taking risks. It does not feel like the environment is one where the new thing could work. And a brain that does not feel safe expanding does not build what it was made to build. The social media feed is an environment. The comparison loop we talk about is environmental priming running at scale. Thousands of data points per scroll, calibrating your brain's model of where you rank, what you have, what is normal, what is missing. And the model it builds from the data is specifically, deliberately engineered by people who understood the algorithm, calibrated toward the feeling of lack, because lack drives engagement, and engagement drives revenue, and revenue is the product, and you are the raw fucking material. The conversations you have most often are an environment. The friend who talks about why things do not work, the family member who surfaces the risk in every opportunity, the colleague who's made peace with the ceiling and is now gently inviting you to do the same. Come in, the water's fine. Those conversations are not neutral. They are input and they are being processed. They are shaping the architecture, and the architecture is producing the life. You do not have to be cruel about any of this. You do not have to leave everyone. You do not have to curate your life into a sterile bubble of exclusively positive input, but you have to be honest, brutally fucking honest about what your consistent inputs are doing to your brain's model of what is possible. And you have to be willing to change the inputs that are building the wrong model. This is not optional if you are serious about the life you say you want. It is the work. And guess what, bitch? It starts today. And if you're sitting in a room right now, physical or metaphorical, that you know is too fucking small for the version of you that is supposed to exist, share the shit out of this episode with another person who needs to hear it, okay? And you leave a fancy little review, type up some words. But definitely, you guys send it to the one who's doing all the right work and can't figure out why the ceiling is not moving. The environment is why. Share. You haven't subscribed, do that. Okay. This is the kind of shit that gets the show into the rooms where it needs to go. So do that now and come back. Here's the thing about environment that takes a while to fully understand. And once you get this, like, you can't unfeel this once you see it. Okay. Normal is not absolute, normal is local, it is specific to the environment. Okay. Not absolute. And what is normal in one room is extraordinary in another room and unremarkable in the third room. And the problem is that most people spend their entire lives in the same rooms, which means their model of normal never updates. And the extraordinary thing they're capable of building feels inside the normal of their current room. It feels either impossible or irresponsible or naive. A person who grows up in an environment where entrepreneurship is normal thinks nothing of starting a business. The risk that feels enormous to someone from an employment-only background feels like Tuesday to someone whose environment normalized it. And it's not because one person is braver than the other. I'm starting to recognize a serious pattern. It's because the brain calibrated to a different normal. And it produces a different threat response to the same action. The environment did the work before the decision was made. And this is not about where you came from, it is about where you're choosing to be now. We can't change the past. So fuck yesterday. Where do you start today, right now? in the next 30 days in the rooms you're going to walk in and the inputs that are going to feed your brain and the baseline you're going to allow to be recalibrated by consistent exposure to people who are building at the level you're building toward. You cannot think your way to a new normal. You have to be in a new normal long enough for the brain to accept it as the new baseline. And that requires the room. The actual room, the actual people, the actual consistent exposure to the expanded possible. This is not a fucking option. This is the mechanism. And the mechanism is available to you right now. And this is the thing about Jesus that gets missed in like every conversation about his ministry. He was extraordinarily intentional about his environment. Y'all, he handpicked the 12 people who would be in his primary environment. He did not take the most educated. He did not take the most credentialed. He did not take the most socially approved. He took the ones whose capacity matched the assignment. He put them in an environment. 3 years of daily proximity to the most extraordinary version of human potential that has ever existed. And he let the environment do what the environments do. It shaped them, it calibrated them. It expanded the baseline of what was normal to include the rising of the dead and the feeding of the thousands and the walking on the water. They did not do those things because they were inherently more gifted than anyone else. They did them because they'd been in the room that normalized the miraculous, the room that expanded the possible to include things their previous environments had not contained. The environment did the work that the information alone could not do. And then he withdrew. When he went to the mountain to pray, when he stepped away from the crowd to be in a different environment, he was doing the same thing. He was teaching. The environment you return to for refueling matters as much as the environment you occupy for work. Both are shaping the architectures, both require intention. He also knew which rooms to leave. The Pharisees' rooms, the rooms where the explicit purpose was to trap, diminish, challenge, and reduce. He did not stay in those rooms trying to win the argument. He said what he needed to say and he left. Because the room that is designed to diminish you does not become less diminishing because you stay in it longer and argue better. It diminishes you regardless. The only winning move in a room designed to make you smaller is to fucking leave it. And some of you are in rooms designed to make you smaller, and you've been staying and arguing and trying to win an argument in a room that is not capable of hosting fairly. Leave the damn room. And you don't even have to do it in anger, just with clear eyes and an understanding that the room is doing what it was built to do, and you have a different building to be in. Bye, bitch. Bless and release. Audit your environment this week and ask the specific question: is the building, this building, is am I the person that I am trying to become, or is it reinforcing the person I've been? Not with judgment, a spectrum, like for each significant environment in your life, okay? Like the primary relationships, the work context, your professional context, the digital inputs, the physical spaces. Ask the question and be honest about the answer. You're looking for the inputs that are consistently, reliably below the ceiling you're trying to break through. Those are the ones that need to change. Then identify one new room to get into in the next 30 days. I mean it. I know you heard this yesterday, and I'm showing you a different perspective. And it has to happen now. This has to be the room where people are building at a level you're building. Whether it's a community or a group or an event or a context where the assumed baseline is above your current ceiling. One room, stay in it, let your nervous system recalibrate what normal is, and your brain will do the rest. And that digital environment, which is the one most people underestimate because it feels, I guess, less real than the physical one. But it is still running the same neurological program. Do one specific thing today. Unfollow five accounts that consistently produce the feeling of limitation. Get rid of the news sources that are priming fear, the comparison accounts that celebrate and calibrate to inadequacy, the content that is entertaining but is not building the architecture you need. Five accounts today. Replace them with five accounts of people building what you're building towards. The brain updates based on consistent input. If you change the input, you change the model. You change the model. And I have these conversations with people every single day in my interview show. They have spent so much time with the same colleagues and the same conversations and the same agreement about what's realistic and what's appropriate. And on the outside, they're genuinely good. But on the inside, so many of these people are realizing these environments are not shaping who I really am called to be. And everybody has a calling, a very specific one, no matter how you're going to use that. No matter how you're going to use that, recognize the room you're in and recognize whose life you're living. Is this yours? Or are you trying to fit in a room that was never meant for you? And these conversations I'm having, they don't realize how much of their brains have been dedicated into fitting into the wrong room. And once you get into a room that is good for you, you can feel the difference. It is tangible. And there is space suddenly created where there wasn't space anymore because the ceiling disappears. I want the right room for you. It doesn't just calibrate, not just your thinking, but to your nervous system too, that physical, neurological, literal architecture of the brain that is building the life. The right room creates the space, and in that space, there's space of a brain that is no longer dedicating its resources to fitting somewhere it was never meant to fit. The thing you were always supposed to build becomes possible. You have been fitting yourself into rooms that were not built for you for years. Maybe it's even decades. And the fitting has taken a toll that you've been calling something else. It's giving you the stress and the burnout. You're recognizing this in the difficulty of the work or the challenge of the season, and it's none of that shit. All that's bullshit to this. It is that neurological cost of compression of a person operating at reduced capacity because the environment is receiving 20% of the available resources and the fitting is receiving the rest. Let me help you build the room. That is what I do. However, you need to use your voice, your mess is your message. And we're done being compressed in the wrong rooms. Let's create the voice and the platform that creates the space that your brain's been waiting for. You cannot build the life from inside the rooms that produce the old version. The environment is the work, and the right environment is available to you now.